The scripture reading today is Jeremiah 31:3, and it's on page 697 in the Pew Bible if you want to find it. And I left my glasses down on the pew. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you."
Well, I don't know if you've ever been extremely glad that God gives strength to the weary and the weak. But I can testify today that God is good and has given my family strength. Let me give you an example of that. Yesterday, my wife Nancy was diagnosed with what appears to be a permanently dislocated thumb because of bone deterioration, which is definitely going to make playing the piano difficult. And if that weren't enough, this morning she woke up to a husband who was strangely nauseous and dizzy and had not really experienced those things before. And she spent her whole morning caring for me rather than trying to warm up her voice. Because she literally almost had to carry me inside the door this morning when I got here. So, you know, I appreciate the strength that the Lord has given my wife. And I can tell you that 2 hours ago I had real doubts that I would be able to even stand in front of you because of how weak I was feeling just 2 hours ago. But, you know, I feel pretty good at the moment. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. You know, I am part of a pastoral peer group, which means that there are about six pastors in my group. They get together. Travis was a part of us for a good share of time, too. But we get together and we talk about the various issues that pastors, you know, sometimes face. And sometimes we ask each other for advice. And then we just, you know, share some of the things that are happening in our lives. And then we go out and have lunch together. And we do this once a month. And I did this just 2 weeks ago with a group down in Chillicothe. And the youngest member of our pastoral peer group had a particular issue that he needed help in trying to figure out how to respond to. And so we were giving him advice. And I'd like to think that it was good advice. Because as I heard various numbers of us respond to his situation, I thought, you know, this is the Lord sharing with this young man how he can handle this particular problem. So when we get together, we not only do those kinds of things, sometimes, though, it gets a little lighthearted and we begin to tell jokes. You know, pastors have a variety of different scenarios that we get to face, and some of which are rather odd. At best. But from that, you know, we come up with these jokes, and I'm going to share with you a little joke that pastors sometimes voice. Do you know that one of the perks of being a pastor, one of the great things about being a pastor, is that you get to make everybody in your congregation happy? Did you know that? You get to make everyone in your congregation happy. You see, some people are extremely happy when they finally get a pastor. You know, finally. Maybe they've been without a pastor for some months, and they finally get a pastor. And that excites them to finally, you know, not be maybe doing all the kinds of things that they needed to do or putting up with the kinds of things maybe they felt like they were putting up with. And the pastor has finally arrived, and they're happy. Then there are other people who are extremely happy if the pastor stays for a long, long time. They don't care so much how good or great he is, just that he's there all the time. They want a pastor to be there all the time. And so they're happy. As long as you're there, they're happy. And you know, there are some people who are extremely happy when the pastor leaves. They are delighted when he leaves. And so you can see that during a pastor's tenure, he makes everybody in his congregation happy. When he comes, when he stays, and when he leaves. Yes. Well, that's one of the jokes that we tell when we're getting together as pastors. And humorous admissions aside, I want you to know that my family and I have been delighted to be here. It's been way too short, but it has been rich and good for all of us. And we pray that it has been rich and good for all of you as well. Thank you so much for having us. We've really enjoyed being here. When I think back on pastors that I have had, I can remember maybe three times where the pastor said farewell. One of those was a pastor who actually retired when he was done with our congregation. He was there with us for 10 years, and he retired at the end. I remember that day. But I remember a particular pastor's sermon more than others because of the text that he shared on that farewell occasion. And I've chosen that same text, not only out of respect for God who, you know, sent this message to us, but for that man. This is the verse that he shared with us many, many years ago. It comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And we read in Philippians 1, verse 6, "And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again." Familiar with that text and the depth and the richness of it? Well, you know, you could see from the slides that we have done a variety of things together, right, as a church family. We engaged in social events, and we had weddings, and we had community work and VBSs, and, you know, we did a variety of things together. But, you know, when I think about all the things that we've done together, they are not the reasons why I have confidence regarding your future and regarding my future. They are not the reasons at all. I have preached a lot of biblical sermons during the time that I have been here, right? Lots of biblical sermons. And even if you took each of those sermons to heart and you lived your life faithfully by what God was teaching you through my sermons, they are not the reason why I have such confidence about your future. No, not at all. There's only one reason and one reason alone that gives me assurance regarding your future and mine, and that is this. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue this work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. That is what gives me confidence regarding your future and regarding mine. My confidence about your future is not in your hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in the hands of your new pastor, whoever that will be. My confidence regarding your future rests on God alone and the promises that God keeps, not just makes, but that he keeps. Now, your presence today, I think, is plenty of evidence that God has begun some good work in your life, right? Wouldn't you agree with me? Your presence today is evidence that God has begun a good work in your life. And you'll notice with me that when Paul wrote Philippians 1, verse 6, he didn't say, well, that good work that God has begun in your life is going to come to an end when your pastor leaves and you get a new pastor. He didn't put that kind of qualification on it. No, God began working in your life a long time ago, according to the scriptures. And he knows just how he wants to transform you so that you can be your happiest and healthiest and holiest person that you could ever be. God knows how to make that happen. And that's what he's working on accomplishing in your life today. Now, what's interesting about these three character qualities, happiness, healthiness, holiness, is they make for a sort of well-rounded life, a beautifully balanced life. And as I look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I think, you know, this is a perfectly balanced text as well, because it speaks of what God has begun to do in your life, and it speaks of what God is going to finish in your life. And so you have this continuity from beginning to end, beautiful continuity in the passage. But you notice that the passage also deals with your past, your present, and your future. Let me give you an example. There's a distinct reference to the past in this word began. And the words continue and until refer to your present. Let's read that again. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. And then there is good evidence that God is referring to your future, because it ends up saying this: until the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. And so we have this perfectly balanced text. You know, it talks about your beginning, it talks about your middle, and it talks about your end. Wouldn't you say that has a nice balance to it? They say every good story has to have three elements, right? Come on, you've probably heard this. Every good story needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? And God is writing the story of your life with you. And I want you to know that Philippians 1 verse 6 makes it very clear that your story has a good beginning, a good middle, and a good ending. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Tremendous. But I want you to know that that means that your life has never been outside the hands and the work of God. Your life has never been outside the hands and the work of God. From before you were conceived, to the moment you were delivered, to the times in which you were just a young child, to the times when you became a teenager, and then a young adult, and then for some of you, middle-aged, and then, yes, even old. Your life has never been outside the hands and work of God. Never been. God has been constantly, constantly thinking about you, working with you, helping you to become all that God wants you to become. The Apostle Paul often referred to the time when God's grace began to work in someone's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I can never stop thanking God for all the generous gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ. Colossians 1 verse 5, you do this because you are looking forward to the joys of heaven, as you have been ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. And then this one is a bit humorous for us, not so much for them. Galatians 3 verse 3, have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Spoke about their beginning in the things of God, right? Now, these are just three of the many times that we could refer to where Paul speaks of the good work that God had begun in the lives of church members. Here's the thing. If there is any kind of good in your life, if there's any kind of good in your life, God is the one who put it there. I don't care what kind of good it is. It doesn't have to just be spiritual good, though it certainly includes all of that. If there is any good in your life, it is because God has put it there. God has put it there. He initiated every good thing that has ever happened to you. He began every good change that has occurred in your life. Your past has been God's factory, his business, his workplace. Perhaps we should say his workshop, your past. Now, you might not see God's hand in your past at the moment, but someday you will see all that God has been up to, all that God has been doing. And when you finally do get a good glimpse of what God has been doing in your life, well, some people say hallelujah. They are extremely happy to finally see, God, you made some sense out of my past. This text that was read earlier, Jeremiah 31:3, tells us, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I've loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, and with unfailing love I have drawn you to myself. And when you finally do see what God has been doing in your past, your heart, your mind will completely resonate with this passage. Everything that it teaches will delight you. Because you will be utterly convinced that God has been working in your life through his unfailing love. And in his unfailing love, he has never ceased to be working with you. Never quit. Always been there working. Drawing you to himself, according to this text. Drawing you to himself. That is what God has been doing. Day after day, year after year, throughout your entire existence as a human being, God has been doing a fantastic work in your life. And he is not going to quit until the job is finally done, according to Philippians 1, verse 6. But you know, so far, what? We've just been talking about the work that God has begun in your life. There's more to it than that, right? According to our passage. The work that God has begun in our lives is also a process. A process that happens moment by moment, day by day. It's still going on right now as you listen to me. God is still working powerfully in your behalf to change you and make you a better person. The work that God has begun in your present, begun in your past and continues in your present, can be captured by this one verse in Lamentations 3:23. Speaking of God, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. Did you notice that? Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. And so every day of your life, in your present, God is working, extending to you many, many mercies. Notice it said mercies plural, right? God is extending to you mercies plural. And the Bible is filled with messages that tell us, take advantage of what God is doing for you today. Amen. Take advantage of it. Listen to this, Hebrews 4:7. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David a long time later in the words already quoted. Today, you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him. If you and I were to do a study of the Ten Commandments together, say Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 to 3, we would read this. While we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God made a covenant with us. The Lord did not make this covenant long ago with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. The chronological referencing of the Ten Commandments is not something that God did for the Jewish people ages ago. And it only, you know, impacts their life. No, the chronological reference period of the Ten Commandments is today. Listen. The Lord did not make this covenant long ago with our ancestors. That's how the passage still reads. But with all of us who are alive today. That is God speaking to you and to me, saying the Ten Commandments are a wonderful covenant that God is making with us today. God wants us to seize a hold of our present opportunities so that we can become all that God wants us to be. And that's so that we can be as happy as God wants us to be. Amen. Eternally happy, infinitely happy. Take a hold of your present opportunities and become all that God wants you to be. If we let today slip by, each time it comes around, we'll never become what God wants us to be, nor will we be as happy as we could be. Today is critical. Don't let it slip by. Don't let it slip by. And because today is crucial, God describes himself as someone who is a present help in times of trouble. Did you notice that word present? A present help in times of trouble. That's what God is. And that is why we can have so much confidence about our present. Because God is a present help to us. A present help to us. And what's our part in all of this? Well, if we heed the call of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, here is your part. Don't harden your heart against him. That's it? That's it? Are you serious, Pastor? That's it? Have you ever read a little statement that our own Ellen White makes? She says that if we do not resist, we will be drawn to God. So your part is simply don't put on the brakes. Don't resist God as he draws you to himself. Amen. He will successfully do it if you don't resist. That's it. And as a result of not resisting, you will become a better person. A happier, healthier, holier person. God has also promised what? That he will completely finish the work that he begun in your life. That on the day when Jesus comes back, you will not only be ready for Jesus to return, you will be anxious about it. Amen. Isn't that what the scriptures teach us? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, is what the Bible says. That will be the cry of your heart as God continues to work in your future. Scripture makes it very clear that God has promised us a rosy future. Listen to this in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. You want to have a future and a hope? Yeah. Now, all too often when we start talking about the future that God has in mind, we immediately jump to when Jesus returns. But what about the immediate future, the time between now and when Jesus comes back? Shouldn't we put a little attention on that? Isn't God wanting to do something powerful in our lives right now, in the immediate future that we have before us, before Jesus returns? God has a powerful work he wants to get accomplished. Philippians 1:6 does refer to Jesus' return, but it also speaks of a long future in which God is working in your lives, right? That culminates in Jesus finally coming back. So you've got this long, wonderful stretch where God is working, helping you become a kinder, sweeter, more gentle person. The Bible's not foggy about the good that God is working in someone's life. In fact, if you looked at the context of Philippians 1 verse 6, you would find out this. They were the only church that supported Paul routinely in all his missionary endeavors. They financed his missionary journeys. Did you know that? They financed them. Now, if somebody is sharing their finances with you so you can get your work done, that is a real unselfish act. And as we continue reading in Philippians, we find that these were people who are also not reluctant to share the good news themselves. Amen. They had become unselfish in every kind of way, in speech and in act. This is the kind of work that God wants to do in your heart and mind. He wants us to become generous people in every sense of the term. That's what he was accomplishing for them. That's what he will accomplish for us. If we simply do not resist and harden our hearts. Now on one side, let's be honest, God has a difficult task in front of him. Because I am, and you are, according to the scriptures, naturally selfish. And it's a tough task to turn somebody who's naturally selfish and wants to be that way, stay that way, and turn them into somebody who's completely selfless. But the good news is that God also has everything in his character that would draw us to him. And the good news is he has the power to transform our lives as well. Right? He has the power to do this. Our only part is to not get in his way. Positively said, to listen to his voice. That's our only part, to listen to his voice. Philippians 1:6 tells us that there is a certainty to our future. It has to do with what God is currently doing in our lives. What he began in the past, what he's currently doing, we can bank on him finishing. God is doing only what is in our best interests, changing our hearts and our minds, making us become the good people that we want to be in our sanest moments, the good people that our neighbors would love us to be in their sanest moments. And so I want you to know that your life in the past is in the hands of God. It is in God's workshop, and it always has been. He's been drawing you slowly, slowly, slowly throughout your entire life. He's been drawing you to the point you are today in your relationship with him. Your life right now in the present is filled with a kind of confident hope. Because what God started, he continues to work in, right? So if he started to work in your life, he's not stopped. And he won't stop until he's completely done. And your future life has this confidence to it. God finishes what he starts. And your part in all of this? Do not get in God's way. Amen. Do not harden your heart. Do not resist him. And this is why I have such a confident view that your future is coming up roses. Because God, who began a good work in you, will continue that work until the day when Jesus comes back again. On behalf of me, myself, my family, our daughter who's out west, thank you so much for having us. We have enjoyed your company, and we will continue to pray that God will bless each of you every day. Would you sing in closing this morning with us? Thank you. Would you sing in closing with us this morning? We have this hope. First verse only, in case your hymnal has more than one. We have this hope. Hymn number 214, just a single verse.
Burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. Time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing. this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, it has been a privilege for us to have been here, but then you knew that it would be when you sent us. And you knew that it would prove to be for our best good. And I can only hope and pray that those who are listening to me can say the same. Father, thank you so much for these divine appointments. And thank you for giving us such a rich promise that we have never been outside your workshop, that you have always had us in your heart and mind, and that you are working powerfully to bring about nothing but our best good. Father, we give you thanks for drawing us to you, for bringing us ever closer to you, and for the day when we finally get to see you face to face. We look forward to that moment. In Jesus' name we pray.